one of the soldiers suggests. Ugh! Back to those schmoozing, scheming fairies? Back to Mara with her cloaked insults and brittle smiles, or the green man and his leers? Give me a few more minutes. Just thinking about the Flora rulers has me rubbing my skin. There's something off about those two. Calypso. I pause. Did you hear that? I ask the soldiers. Two of them nod, their faces grim. One of them grabs my upper arm.
Time to get back to the ball, my lady.
Of course they're right, but I still hesitate. Finally, something slightly spooky happens out here, and now I'm to be whisked away to safety. I let them steer me back towards the gardens anyway, which I can just barely make out in the distance.
Enchantress.
My spine goes stiff. I glance back towards the origin of the voice. For a split second, I catch sight of a shock of white blonde hair in the darkness. Dez? I whisper before I can help it. As soon as I breathe his name, my guards hesitate, looking back to the woods for their king. But where he once was is now dark as ever. One of my guards yelps. I whip around. What happened? They glance at each other, each one as perplexed as the last. It takes a few seconds for all of us to put together what exactly is off about the situation. A second ago, there were 6 soldiers at my side. Now there are only 5.
Move, move, move!
The soldiers don't stop to search for their comrade. They grab me and begin hustling towards the gardens. They're not fast enough. We've barely taken 10 steps when a slew of vines drop from the treetops, reaching for one of the soldiers. It happens in less than a second. They wrap around his arms and shoulders and jerk him up into the canopy overhead. Oh, shit! I curse. I've never seen that before. The soldier's feet kick at empty air as the treetop swallows him up. My wings open on reflex. Not going to lose another soldier. Before any of the others can stop me, I leap into the air. My wings beat furiously, lifting me toward the guard. He's still tangled in vines, and they pin his body to the trunk of the tree. Using my claws, I slash through the plants. But as quickly as I cut through them, more form, winding around the soldier. What in the world? I manage to free one of his hands, and with it he pulls out his own sword and begins hacking away at the vines. One of the ropey branches darts out, wrapping around his wrist and squeezing, squeezing. I hear the crack of his bones breaking. The soldier cries out, his weapon falling uselessly to the forest floor beneath us. I rip through the plants, freeing his now mangled wrist. As I do so, I feel vines snake around my own body, twisting around my torso. Shit. I'm pried away from the guard, my body flung to the ground. I land on my hands and knees, and for several seconds I just rest there, breathing heavily. The 4 remaining soldiers close in around me, helping me to my feet. Already several of them have their wings out, no doubt about to join me up in the canopy. I glance above me. As I watch, the vines completely ensnare the soldier, cleaving him to the tree. And then, horror of horrors, with a wet rip, the trunk of the tree parts around the fairy and begins to suck him in. Holy fuck! Once more, my wings flare out, but the remaining soldiers hold me fast. We need to leave, one of them says. But I can't look away. It only takes seconds for the trunk of the tree to fully wrap around the fairy, and then another several seconds for it to reseal, starting at the soldier's feet and working its way up, leaving a thin line of blood in its wake. And then it's over. A tree just swallowed a soldier before my eyes. I did this. I led these guards into this sinister-ass forest, and now 2 men are gone. I spend several seconds glaring at the treetops and berating myself as they lead me away before I remember. I am the Night King's mate. I am no victim. I'm a survivor, a fighter. I'm someone's nightmare. Let me go, I say calmly. The soldiers ignore me. I said, let me go. This time when I speak, it comes out as a command. My lady, one of them protests. I begin to glow. This is not how you treat your king's mate. You will listen to me, and you will follow my orders. Now they do listen to me. Their hands fall to their sides. I turn around, stalking back to the tree, my skirts swishing around my ankles. Men, I call over my shoulder. Leave this place and go find your king. It's not safe for you here. This time they don't follow my order. Seconds after I give it, all four remaining soldiers flank me.
We're not leaving you,
one of them says. I want to growl at them. Surely they know how dangerous this is for them. I push my worry and frustration aside. I can only focus on one thing at a time. Several feet away lies the captured soldier's sword. I grab it, then face off the tree that ate one of Dez's men. This was a bad day to piss me off. I pull the sword back like a baseball bat, well aware that this is not how you hold a sword. One of the soldiers at my back says,
It's against the law to cut down.
I swing the blade, embedding it into the tree trunk. With a swift yank, I jar the sword out. I'm not cutting the tree down, I say over my shoulder. Whack! I strike the trunk again. I'm saving one of my guards. Again, I yank the blade from the bark, wood splintering away as I do so. There's a difference.
There's not really a difference. Sure, my goal isn't to cut the tree down, but I probably will chop the fucker down to save this soldier.
The tree moans, and I can hear the neighboring ones hissing at me, some of their branches bending down and swiping at the group of us. I'm pretty sure I just made enemies with the oaks. I look over my shoulder at the guards at my back. Well, are you all going to just stand there, or are you going to help me get your comrade out? That's all the encouragement they need. What's left of my guards and I take turns sawing into the tree trunk, bits of bark splintering off with every hit. The tree begins shrieking, the ungodly sound carrying through the woods. We do this until we see a swath of skin. The night soldier is still cocooned in vines, his body curled inside the core of the tree. That is not a sight you see every day. I drop my sword, and together with my guards, we pull out the coughing soldier from the heart of the tree. He pants, pulling off fine, spindly roots that seem to have wedged their way under his skin and into his veins.
Thank you,
he wheezes to his comrades, clasping one of them on the shoulder. His eyes move over the group until they find me. The rescued guard gets up, dusting dirt and bark off of himself. He kneels before me, taking my hand and pressing it to his forehead.
I owe you more than just my allegiance, my queen. I vow that as long as I live, my shield and my sword will protect you. My life is yours.
Chapter 47. The oak we hacked into is making strange wheezing noises, and its neighbors have quieted for the moment. The vines that once entrapped the soldier now roll up into the tree's core, withering away. The soldiers, meanwhile, are tending to their comrade, leaving me to assess what exactly just happened. A voice called to me. I saw Dez's likeness, and then two soldiers disappeared, one whom we recovered, the other who is still missing. The sequence of events is hauntingly similar to the tales that have been coming in. I turn to the other trees that surround us. Never have I been so sick of the color green in my life. But green isn't the only color in this forest. Dark blood drips down many of the branches around me, turning the sacred wood into something macabre, something I'd be more likely to see on Memnos, the land of nightmares. An ungodly thought hits me. The men that are missing. I stride over to where I dropped the soldier's sword. Picking it up again, I head to a particularly bloody tree several feet away. Once more, I lift the weapon. My lady, the female soldier calls after me, cutting down one tree to save a soldier is bad enough. To cut down another will be seen as an act of war. Too bad for Mara, she already swore an oath of peace with Dez's kingdom. I don't give a fuck what the Flora Queen sees this as. I roll my neck and then pull the sword back and take a swing.
The blade embeds itself into the thick trunk, something warm and wet spraying from the wound. The tree screams, the sound like a pig squealing, as I cut into it. I yank the blade out of the bark. From the gash, blood oozes. Bleeding trees. What a grisly, grisly sight. No one else dares to join me, though they all avidly watch. I swing again and again, ignoring the strain in my arms. Each successive blow cracks a bit more of the bark, spraying out shards of wood and bits of blood. The tree continues to shriek, its canopy rustling. I'm covered in gore. It speckles my hair and paints my face, reminding me of that fateful night years and years ago when I stood up to my stepfather, stood up and watched him die. Slowly but surely, the hardened bark of the oak gives way to its soft core. I begin using my claws to rip it away, studiously ignoring the fact that my hands are now coated with blood. With one final rip, I unearth exactly what I feared. In the heart of the tree, covered in gore and a web of roots, is a sleeping man. It's downright spooky, staring into the face of a man who's been missing for who knows how long, his arms crossed over his chest as though someone laid him out. Unlike the night soldier we just retrieved, this man looks like he's been here a particularly long time. The vines wrapped around him have now fused together, and his long hair is matted to his skin. Whatever color his uniform originally was, it's now crimson, steeped in blood. But I don't need to make out the color of his uniform to figure out which kingdom he belongs to. The curving ibex horns indicate that he's a fauna soldier.
There's a tree-cutting party, and I wasn't invited.
A familiar voice says at my back. I turn around. Dez leans against a neighboring oak, watching me with those eyes that see everything, his white hair stirring in the breeze. His arms are folded over his chest, his biceps looking massive and his tattoos particularly menacing. I have to remind myself that the three bronze bands on his other arm are for valor because right now, even clad in fey attire, he simply looks like the bargainer, the man who strikes deals for gain and breaks bones for slights against me.
If my mate is going to break the law, she should at least invite me along,
he says, pushing away from the tree. His face changes seconds later when he takes in the scene.
What happened?
Dez asks, all humor gone from his voice. I wipe my bloodied hands off on my dress. I think I found the missing soldiers.
Chapter 48. Dez disappears, materializing at my side a moment later. He scrutinizes the man sleeping in the tree.
Mara, he whispers.
Mara. The vain queen of Flora has been hiding men in her sacred oak forest, one of the places where it's forbidden to strike down a tree. No wonder no one had found the soldiers. They'd been hidden inside the one place that could not be disturbed. Only an outsider like me would be ignorant and ballsy enough to desecrate this grove. I feel the breath of Dez's magic a second before it hits the vines. The tree shrieks as it blackens and decays, the vines that hold the man fast now curling away. Motioning with his hand, the bargainer's magic pries the sleeping soldier out of the tree. Vines groan and snap as the man is released. His body is covered in gore like a new baby's might be as Dez's magic settles him onto the grass. And in some ways, this is a dark rebirth.
The bleeding trees, I say to Dez. Each one must house a missing soldier, his body cocooned inside it. The bargainer nods.
I know, cherub.
His eyes meet mine. The plants aren't rotting from a disease at all. They're coffins. Dez leans over the sleeping soldier, his eyes scouring the man.
He's just like the women.
A muscle in his cheek ticks. The trees begin to rustle and shake as a wind kicks up. It lifts my hair and lashes it about.
Mara's coming,
Dez says, his voice ominous. My skin chills. This whole time it was the Queen of Flora who was behind the men's disappearances. The wind picks up speed, beginning to tear leaves from their branches. I feel rather than hear her approach, her magic thickening the air with scents of pine and honeysuckle. When I finally see her, her dress is whipping behind her, her bright red hair billowing around her like a fiery corona. At her back, a regiment of guards follow, their faces solemn.
Who has struck down one of my trees?
Struck down? Like it was a man, not a plant. Perhaps to her it was. Perhaps these trees are far more beloved than the men lying dormant inside them. I straighten as she closes in on our group. Mara's eyes move to the tree I just demolished, and her low moan carries on the wind, rising higher and higher until it becomes a shriek. My sacred oak! For a moment, we're forgotten. She rushes to the tree and falls to her knees at the foot of it, her hands going to its bloody trunk. Now's probably not the time to tell her that we actually took out two oaks, not one. She doesn't spare the sleeping soldier laid out near her a passing glance.
I never thought it would be you,
Des says quietly, menace riding his voice. His wings snap out, the bone-white talons gleaming in the darkness. The shadows are gathering around him. Mara's head is still bowed.
You entered the Fauna King's palace and defiled it. I invited you to my kingdom, and you dared to do the same. First with my harem, and now with my holy forest.
Around us, I hear roots and vines begin to snap and stir. You thought promising peace between our kingdoms would earn you immunity. Her hair begins to whip about her as her power rises, the floral scent now mingling with the cloying smell of rot.
You thought wrong.
Mara screams, and 100 different roots and vines shoot towards us. Dez steps in front of me, and shadows blast out from him, snuffing out the fairy lights and blocking out the heavens above. The roots wither and die away before they can do more than caress my skin. Everything is inky darkness. I can't tell up from down, left from right. There is no ground, no forest, no soldiers, no sky. Nothing but primordial night. From the darkness, I hear Dez chuckle.
Oh, Mara.
The air fills with power, and the Fey Queen shrieks. Boom! The earth shakes as Mara unleashes another wave of her magic.
Is that the best you have?
Dez taunts a moment later. I can't tell what's happening. I can only assume that the two rulers are fighting. The magic in the air crests again, and again and again.
Calypso.
The hairs on the nape of my neck stand on end. Dez's voice calls to me from an entirely different direction than where I assumed he stood.
Enchantress.
I spin at the sound of his voice. From the nothingness around me, a figure appears in the distance. Dez watches me from afar, not coming any closer. And yet I swear I can sense him still engaging with the Flora Queen somewhere else in the darkness. Dez beckons me towards him. When I don't budge, he turns around and heads deeper into the inky blackness. What is going on? Is this an illusion? Is this real? What happens if I follow him? What happens if I don't? On reflex, I begin to move, throwing a glance over my shoulder. I don't know why I bother. Aside from Dez, there's nothing here but unending darkness. I understand now why one of Dez's titles is the King of Chaos. This world of perpetual night could drive a person crazy. Slowly, however, the shadows give way to forest once more. It's not until I can see the fairy lights overhead that I look behind me. A swell of darkness still swathes the forest. From it, I can hear faint shrieks and grunts. When I swivel back around, my mate waits for me in the distance, surrounded by those bloody oaks. Dez? I say, confused. How can he be in two places at once?
How very beautiful you are,
he says. A Again, my goose flesh rises. Something about his voice is off. But what?
Calypso Lilis, the enchantress,
Dez says, strolling forward. Dez, what's going... My words die away as he nears. That hair, those eyes, it's a spitting image of Dez. But the shape of his face is a little squarer, and the curve of his mouth a little crueler. Not Dez. I take a step back.
I've wanted to meet you for some time.
My heart's thundering, my gaze moving from the fairy's pointed ears to his white hair and sculpted frame. Not Dez, but similar. This man's body is a shade more compact than my mate, his frame a bit more wiry. Despite the incongruences, I recognize him from my dreams. Dreams are never just dreams. Who are you? He disappears, only to manifest behind me.
A ghost.
I whip around, expecting to see him at my back, but there's no one there. I spin in a full circle, but the man who could be Dez's doppelganger is gone.
So the bastard of Orestes found himself a human mate.
The man's voice comes from above me.
Here I was, ready to pity him.
The bastard of Orestes. I've heard that from somewhere.
But you are nothing quite so ordinary,
he continues.
A human with wings and scales. A siren who can ensnare mortals with her voice alone. Even I might have made an exception for a mortal like you.
I stare at the canopy above me, trying to track his voice. How did you lead me here? I ask. How did no one sense you? Dez rules the darkness and everything in it. The fairy laughs.
By the time your mate was learning tricks in the darkness, I had already mastered them.
I glance around me, trying to pinpoint the man's voice. Damn him, he keeps moving about.
The foolhardy ruler of night is everything he is because of me, but not for long.
A fairy reappears in front of me, brandishing a dagger. Shit! I jerk back just as he slashes it across my chest. Silk rips as his blade cuts through my dress, and a line of blood blooms in its wake, seeping into the frayed material. The sting of pain and the thick rush of adrenaline is enough to call out my siren. My skin illuminates, and yes, I can feel my own viciousness rising. The man backs away, his eyes drinking me in.
A shame to kill you when I could keep you as a pet.
His words are the very thing I need to push me over the edge. I come at him, feeling the wild, chaotic power I was born with. Men like him die by my hand. I swing at him, left, right, my own instincts now bolstered by my training. He dodges the hits, his eyes brightening like Dez's so often do when he gets excited. The fairy vanishes. I spin just as he appears at my back, lunging at me with his knife. Oh God, he doesn't just look like Dez, he fights like him too, disappearing and manifesting at will. I bring up my arm, blocking the swing, and then I grab his wrist, twisting with all my strength. He winks out of existence, but not before he releases his weapon. I swipe it off the ground as he forms at my back. I just barely miss his fist, but I am unable to avoid the booted kick to my back. I grunt, sprawling across the grass. Dagger still in hand, I scramble to get back on my feet, unable to roll away because of my unwieldy wings. Before I can, I feel my attacker's fist thread into my hair. He yanks my head back. With a shriek, I turn into the motion, twisting and swiping out with my stolen blade. The knife cuts through the air, slicing into my attacker's side. Hissing in air, he releases my hair and steps back. I rotate to face him, my lungs heaving. Almost in a daze, he touches his side. He stares at his bloody fingers, shocked. Bloodlust surges in me. I rise to my feet, my wings billowing out in a show of power. The fairy's face morphs, turning sinister.
You cut me.
I smile at his anger and his words. I'll take and take and take until this fairy is nothing but pulp and bones. My surroundings darken.
Cherub,
Dez says, appearing at my side and dragging the darkness along with him.
What are you doing out?
His words die away when he catches sight of my attacker.
You.
Across from us, the fairy's cruel mouth curves. Hello, my son. Chapter 49. Son? But Des's father was supposed to be...
You died on my sword, Gallagher,
Des says. He stares at the fairy like one would a ghost. By all rights, he is a ghost. His father, Gallagher, tilts his head.
Did I?
My eyes dart between the two men. The similarities between them are uncanny. No wonder there were so many rumors of Des being the last person seen with the missing soldiers. His father has been haunting these woods.
Desmond! Mara shrieks from somewhere in the distance. Coward, come back and finish the fight!
She sounds like a broken woman. Gallagher uses the momentary distraction to disappear. A second later, the air behind me stirs. That's all the warning I get. The fairy's arms wrap around me. A second later, I'm jerked off my feet and into the sky. He propels the two of us high into the night air.
What do you think your mate desires more, love or life?
He whispers into my ear as my mate charges after us. I struggle against him. Higher and higher the two of us shoot into the sky.
Why don't we find out?
Des's father says. His arms open, and abruptly I slip from them. I hear Des shout as I pinwheel in the sky. At the moment, my wings might as well be useless. I can't get my bearings, and the oak grove is growing bigger and bigger beneath me. All at once, I'm scooped out of the air and into Des's arms.
I've got you, he says.
No sooner does he speak than Gallagher appears at the bargainer's back, his hands braced against Des's wings. He jerks sharply on them, and I hear the snapping of bones. He broke my mate's wings. Des roars in agony and anger, those massive wings folding at an unnatural angle. And his father, his damnable father, laughs, disappearing just as quickly as he appeared. The bargainer tucks his broken wings around me as the two of us tumble, trying to shield me from harm despite him being the injured one. Several seconds later, we slam into the treetops, and Des grunts as he takes the brunt of the force. The two of us tumble from branch to branch until we finally hit the earth below. I moan as I stare up at Des. His eyes are unfocused with pain, but he rises to his feet without hesitation, pulling me with him.
Going so soon?
Gallagher appears on a branch before us. Even battered and broken, I feel Des's fury. My normally contained mate is losing his long-practiced control. The shadows gather and spill over the forest. The man above us may have sired my mate. He may even know a few tricks that Des doesn't. But right now the darkness is bending to the bargainer's will, not his father's. Des's entire body hums with pent-up rage. I can feel that unnatural wrath churning beneath his skin.
How did you escape death?
Des demands. Gallagher gives his son an indulgent look.
As the Lord of Secrets, you should know better than to ask.
He hops off the branch, and I get my first good look at the wings spread out behind him. They could be carbon copies of Des's own wings, except Gallagher's talons look a little bigger, his wingspan might be a little narrower, and the skin of his wings is soot black, not silver. They fold behind him as his feet hit the ground and he begins to stride towards us.
How I have longed for this reunion, he says. How I will savor killing you.
His eyes land on me.
Maybe I'll be merciful and keep your mate from my new harem. I'll save her for only my most unspeakable acts. Kings have their needs.
Okay, this fucker needs to go down. Des releases me slowly, stepping forward. Darkness pours off him in waves. Gallagher disappears in the next instant, reappearing right in front of Des, his arm cocked. The bargainer dodges the hit, then, grabbing the collar of Gallagher's shirt, thrusts his own fist into Gallagher's face. Before he lands the blow, both men disappear.
They materialize in the sky above me, grappling as they fall. And then they vanish once more, winking into and out of existence over and over again. My already trembling heart lodges itself in my throat. My mate is mighty, but he's fighting the one man who might be his match. And unlike his father, Dez's wings are broken. I hear the two leviathans roaring as they fight, the world shaking with claps of their power as their magic meets. Never have I felt so useless as I stare up into the sky.
He'll be fine.
I jolt as the green man steps out from the dark woods, his green skin glowing softly in the moonlight. What are you doing here? I ask, edging back a little. I came into the forest looking for answers. So far, I've only been met with questions. He comes right up to me, reaching out to stroke my dimming skin.
You are utterly singular, he says, his finger moving over the scales that dust my arm, his eyes flick to mine. I find I've become quite enthralled by you.
I step away from him, grimacing a little. Where's Mara? I ask, looking over his shoulder. Something about this situation is off, but what?
Mourning her beloved trees, he says,
not taking his amber eyes off of me.
I admit I was utterly titillated when you struck down those oaks.
He shakes his head.
That brute human logic of yours does indeed stir things up around here.
The green man reaches for me again. I slap his hand away. That earns me a nefarious smile.
The one wife I couldn't have, the one soul I couldn't claim.
My skin goes cold. What are you talking about?
Did you miss me while I was away?
He begins to circle me.
I've looked forward to chatting with you since our last little encounter in the Fauna Kingdom.
Chapter 50. I walked Dez and myself into a trap, one I can't figure out. Dez's father back from the dead and the green man claiming to have memories he shouldn't. The green man smooths down his shirt front, looking at his body.
This bloody sot died long ago.
I swallow, beginning to back up.
Deep in the forest, the green man met a stranger who wanted to harvest the most peculiar fruit.
The green man, or whoever this guy really is, laughs.
The weakling sought to strike me down.
He flashes me a sly smile.
But I am a hard thing to kill. He died, I lived, and I indeed harvested the most magnificent fruit.
He lifts his hands, gesturing to the bloody trees around us. He was responsible for the disappearances? I'm itching to reach beneath the hem of my dress and grab my daggers. Slowly, my hand moves to my skirts. I begin to hike the material up, slowly. Keep him distracted. How did you hide this from Mara? I ask. No wonder the Flora Queen was utterly uninterested in her mate. Whoever this man is, it doesn't sound like he's the true Green Man, which means she's been living with an imposter for who knows how long. He laughs.
You mean her bleeding trees? She thought they were dying of rot, which they are, and she sought to hide it from her kingdom. Little known fact, trees die when Flora rulers are too weak to sustain their kingdom. She feared she was losing her hold on her reign.
I continue to gather the fabric of my skirt in my hand. And Carnon? I ask. How did you infiltrate his kingdom? The green man's eyes alight.
Ah, Carnon. That mad, clever king was my greatest conquest yet. To slip into a skin not yet dead, it was effortful to say the least.
My flesh crawls. How could I not have noticed before the lingering wrongness of this man?
But as you saw, living bodies have their drawbacks. I fought with his mind for dominance, and I didn't always win.
Carnon's split personality. The Mad King had still been in there when his body snatcher took it over. But how?
The green man continues talking, unaware of my thoughts.
That animal made you in his likeness to escape me. He sought an end to his life by provoking the king of the night, and what better way to do so than to harm the night king's mate?
I've hiked up almost all of my skirt, so close to my daggers. What are you? I ask. For 1 second, his body morphs. Inky black hair and eyes replace the green man's more vibrant ones. His skin pales, his features turning sinister. Those upturned eyes, that pouty mouth and plaited hair. I've seen that face before. It's that of the dark-haired man from my most recent nightmare.
What is a body, really?
He says.
Something that constrains you. Something that perishes.
The illusion dissipates and he's the green man once more.
I have 1,000 eyes and even more souls. I am what happens when even darkness dies. Look at me, and see the truth.
I do look at him. I can't bear to take my eyes off of him. This is the man who has hidden thousands of soldiers and raped thousands more. The thief of souls. Chapter 51. I desperately grasp one of my daggers. The metal makes a slick sound as I pull it out of my thigh holster. He smiles at the sight.
Come now, Calypso. Have I not just warned you that killing me is pointless?
Stay away from me, I warn him, lifting the weapon.
Alas, I cannot. You, my sweet, have presented me with a unique problem.
He rubs his lower jaw as he talks.
A prophecy demands you must die in order for me to get what I want, but if you do, you are beyond my reach.
Above us, the sky quakes as my mate battles on with his father. What is it that you want? He grins again, the sight unsettling me.
Wouldn't you like to know? Riddle me this, he says. Why would a thief such as me steal as many soldiers as I have?
That's one of the many things I could never figure out about this mystery.
Think on it, Enchantress.
Don't call me that.
Would you prefer slave?
He asks.
Personally, I think you seem ill-suited to the title, but if that's what you desire...
I begin to back up. I don't understand. What does Gallagher have to do with any of this? I ask. Even now, the sky thunders with the sounds of father and son. The thief of souls now smiles.
There's an old prophetess who can answer that question. For a price... One way or another, you'll figure it out.
I fight the next question that leaves my lips. I know it's no use asking. No answer will be good enough. I ask anyway. Why are you doing this? His eyes seem to dance.
Perhaps it is time for you to learn more about me as I have you.
He reaches out to me again, cupping my cheek. All my confusion, all of my fear and rage, pulls the siren from her depths. As my skin illuminates, I swipe out at the green man with my dagger, relishing the moment the blade meets flesh. A normal fairy would have flinched from the pain, but he doesn't react. Doesn't even bother moving his hand. He just continues to talk.
I do have one problem, Enchantress. As exquisite as I find you, you are beyond my control. There is, however, a remedy for that.
Moving so fast I can barely follow, he grabs my dagger-wielding arm and twists. I let out a cry, half in pain, half in rage. Bringing my heel up, I slam my foot into his chest, knocking him away. He chuckles, the sound like nails on a chalkboard. He holds up my dagger.
Missing something?
Shit! Hastily, I reach for my remaining dagger. My gown is already bloody and shredded. I look like a wraith, like a ghost come to haunt these cursed woods. My hand closes on the weapon's labradorite handle, and I draw it out. Dez and his father continue to duel overhead, the air thick with their magic. I shift my weight, tossing my dagger from hand to hand. Somewhere along the way, I became comfortable with the weapon. The thief smiles. And then he charges. Unlike Dez's father, the Thief of Souls cannot appear and disappear at will. He can, however, harness the Green Man's power. The oaks begin to hiss and shake, their large bodies bending to swipe at me. I duck and dodge the attacks as I square off with my opponent, my body thrumming with energy. I can do this all day. When I get within arm's reach, I swipe out at the thief, the dagger slashing him across the chest. I follow with my claws, slashing his cheek. His blood looks striking against his pale green skin. More. I want more. I thirst to see him bleed, to see him die. The sight of all that dark liquid sends me into a frenzy. I move with fluid grace, parrying the thief's blows with my blade, slashing and kicking with the rest of my body. It takes minutes to cover the fairy in his own gore. This is power. Foolish of him to fight me. You're going to have to fight a little harder if you really want to hurt me, I goad the thief. He smiles.
That can be arranged.
Moments later, Mara walks into our clearing, looking a little worse for the wear. The flowers in her hair are wilted, she has dirt smeared across her cheek, and her clothes are nearly as stained and ripped as mine. It takes her all of 2 seconds to take in the scene. The Green Man, her mate, covered in blood, dueling the human woman who cut down her beloved trees.
You! She practically hisses at me.
Vines come at me from all sides, and it's all I can do to shred them with my claws and dagger. And still more come at me. No longer am I fighting the Thief of Souls so much as I'm defending myself from Mara's attacks. Right in the middle of the melee, he strides towards me. The thief runs his blade down my cheek, then my arm.
So bloodthirsty, I had no idea.
I swipe out at him, which he easily dodges. Mate, Mara calls out to the thief, what are you doing?
Exacting our revenge, he says over his shoulder.
That seems to appease her. The plants around me continue to pin me in place, squeezing me slowly. The Thief of Souls drags my blade down my other cheek, slicing open the flesh. I feel a brief sting, and then the warm sensation of blood slipping down my jaw.
The only problem is, the moment I truly hurt you, your mate will be on me.
He taps the blunt part of his blade against my nose.
But I think I've figured out a solution.
I might as well be a fly caught in his web. The vines have completely overpowered me. My arms are pinned to my sides. I still hold my remaining blade, but I cannot move enough to saw my way out of my bindings. He leans in close.
Why don't I explain exactly what I plan for you? Right now, my magic is incompatible with yours, and that ruins all my fun. But it doesn't have to be that way. Not if you drink a certain something. Have you heard that lilac wine, the rarest of fairy elixirs, can not only bestow longevity to mortals, it can heal the wounded?
I thin my gaze.
It's a cure-all of sorts, and if you drink it, well then, you would be able to fall victim to my power, and your soul could be mine for the taking.
This sicko.
I could just give the wine to you here and now, but
he seems far too giddy.
I have an even better idea.
He lifts my blade to his eyes, inspecting it. His gaze flicks to mine.
This might hurt.
With one swift movement, he buries the knife in my gut. Chapter 52. I choke, my skin flaring even brighter. So much pain. From behind us, Mara gasps, her vines loosening. What are you doing? She asks, aghast. Rather than answering, the thief yanks up on the hilt. My body jerks as he cuts through vines, flesh, and organs. I let out a scream, my glamour making the cry sound lyrical. In the distance, Dez roars, the sound eclipsing all others. In an instant, he's there in that forest with us, bloody and broken and angry. He drags the Thief of Souls away from me, throwing him to the ground with an enraged cry. I feel Mara's vines release me, and I fall to my knees.
My surroundings are darkening, and I can't tell if it's the bargainer's doing or if I'm just that close to blacking out. Cannot black out. Dimly, I'm aware that Mara is watching the scene unfold and that Gallagher, wherever he is, has not joined the group of us. But more than anything, I'm aware of my mate and the Thief of Souls. The bargainer stomps on the thief's calf, snapping the bone.
I could scalp you alive or remove your entrails and make you eat them,
Dez says as he breaks the thief's other calf.
Or perhaps I should start with your teeth and nails.
Mara screams. Please, Dez, no more.
He harmed my mate,
Dez snarls.
By law, I'm entitled to retribution, and I shall have it.
His battered wings flare out. The bargainer looks like some dark god. Never has he seemed quite so otherworldly. And I can barely see him through my dimming vision. I clutch the gash on my stomach, blood pouring from it. I can feel myself weakening with each breath I take. Mortally wounded. I might have minutes left. And the agony. I squeeze my eyes shut and swallow down my bile. Dez circles the fairy, staring down at the thief. He lifts his hand, the land darkening. I know what happens now. It's the same thing that happened when Carnon faced down my mate. Utter annihilation. Stop! Mara cries. She knows it too. She's a far cry from the haughty queen I met a week ago, her clothes ruined, her face confused, her pride in tatters. I pick myself up, holding my stomach. Each step is pure agony, but I force myself onwards. I wrap my hand around the hilt of the dagger buried inside me. Don't think about it. Dez's eyes widen when he sees what I'm about to do.
Calypso, no.
I yank the blade out, gagging on the pain, the nausea, and the screams that should be rising out of me. A torrent of blood gushes out of the wound, making me sway on my feet. Some of the shadows, Dez's shadows, are receding, but a different sort of darkness tugs on the edges of my vision. Death. My mate is at my side in an instant, relinquishing his vengeance for love. He presses a hand to my stomach. Within seconds, his fingers are coated with my blood.
Cherub, what are you doing?
He asks, his voice torn up. I meet his crushed gaze. He's a man who's watching everything he's lived for slip through his grasp. Even he fears I'm going to die. I can see him desperately grasping at his anger, because if he lets it go, it's a long way to fall, and the abyss that would swallow him up, it would be world-ruining. Let go of me, Dez. There's steel in my words. Wordlessly, reluctantly, he releases me. I stagger forward, right up to where the thief lays sprawled on the ground. He's managed to flip himself over onto his back. His eyes move to my wound. I kneel next to him. You robbed thousands of soldiers of their lives. You robbed them and their families and their friends. All those soldiers who became victims just like me, their bodies buried in the hearts of trees or laid to rest inside glass coffins. He swallows, a bit of blood leaking out the corner of his lips.
You're not going to.
In one swift motion, I draw my arm back and plunge my dagger deep into the Thief of Souls' heart. Mara shrieks somewhere behind me, sounding as though with that one blow, I stabbed her as well. The Thief of Souls laughs, even as blood seeps out of his wound.
You can't kill me,
he says. His face changes from that of the Green Man, earning another shriek from Mara. The queen didn't even know the man she slept next to wasn't her husband. Raven dark hair and inky black eyes replace the Green Man's evergreen hair and amber irises.
Wanna know a secret? He whispers. Janice had a twin. A twin who died. The first time you met him, you were really meeting me.
I reel back. Whether it's from pain or blood loss, I can't seem to put his words together.
Ask yourself this, he says. Do the dead ever really die?
I stare down at the monster who's already ruined so many lives, feeling my own life force seep out of me. He reaches for a lock of my hair.
Utterly singular.
He breathes. He smiles at me.
This is our little game. And trust me, Enchantress, it's far from over.
A gust of wind sweeps through the forest, a dust devil rising around him.
I'm still coming for you, he promises me. Your life is mine.
Chapter 53. The thief's eyes close, his body going still. It's only once his life has fled him that his features revert back to those of the Green Man. Now that the thief no longer animates the Green Man's body, the fallen ruler looks benevolent, kind. Mara pushes past me, falling to the side of her dead mate. She cries over the Green Man, clutching her chest like the loss physically hurts. I rise on shaky legs, one of my hands still pressed to my stomach. I feel my own life ebbing away from me. That horrible darkness creeps in from the edges of my vision. I stagger, then fall. Dez catches me before I hit the ground.
That was the thief.
Shh, he says, laying me out on the ground before shucking off his shirt. Efficiently, he rips it into strips, making a tourniquet of sorts for my wound. It's too late for that. I know the thief shredded vital things when he stabbed me. The soldier in Dez knows it too. I touch his battle-weary face, gazing into his fathomless eyes. They're like a beacon, calling me to life. But the shadows are closing in on me. I love you, Dez.
You are not leaving me, Callie,
he says fiercely. My cold hand slips from his face, and I feel myself start to descend into that final, eternal darkness. Chapter 54. Desmond Flynn.
She's not going to die. She can't. She might. Just like my mother. This is what happens to brave women. Strong women. If you're worthy enough, they'll bleed for you. They'll die for you. I feel my throat working. Please not again. Never again. And not her. My mate. Life was bleak enough without my mother, but with Callie... Callie, everything changed. Life was 1,000 times sweeter than I could have imagined. If she dies, there will be no surviving this. I stroke her cool, clammy cheek, desperate to coax life back into her. She stares up at me, and there's such brutal truth in her expression. She knows what's happening to her. I feel my heart crushing. I almost can't breathe through the pain. So much worse than my injuries. This is not how I thought it would all end. But everything Callie is, everything that makes up her essence, is fading. I run my hand over her bracelet. Her bracelet. While she lives, she's still bound by her vows. I'm not above exploiting them. You will not die, I command. My magic flows out of me, and one bead begins to fade, then another and another. She draws in a shuddering gasp.
Dez, what are you doing?
She asks, breathless. Saving you. And by the gods, it's working. Row after row of beads disappear. Take them all, just bring her back to me. The beads start to vanish slower and slower until finally they stop disappearing altogether. Only a little over a row remains. Her breathing is still as shallow as ever and her wound hasn't stopped bleeding. I'm no healer, but if the magic took... then something should improve. But it doesn't. And then with a whoosh, the whole thing reverses. The magic slams back into my body, rocking me backwards, and the beads begin to reform one by one. No! Can't complete the spell. Beyond my control. Callie's eyes widen, like she felt the balance's tip as well. I gather her body closer to me, rocking her in my arms, my head bowed over hers. I've never fallen apart in front of Callie, not even when she was at the mercy of Carnon, but now I begin to, because this is the real thing.
Till darkness dies, love,
she says, her voice faint. No. I'm shaking my head. Even then, no. The night could end and she'd still be mine. Always mine. Her eyes slip shut. No, I say more emphatically. I glance up, blindly looking around. This is the moment I've dreaded since I met my mate. The moment I lose her. I'd rather do something unforgivable to keep her alive than let her slip quietly into death. Something unforgivable. Mara, where is the wine? The lilac wine. The Flora Queen looks up from her own dead mate, her eyes dull.
The royal cellar,
she mumbles as if in a trance, and then her attention returns to the green man. The royal cellar. I've actually been there several times over the centuries. It takes an instant to leave Callie's side and materialize there, then several precious seconds to locate the telltale purple glass bottles. Grabbing one, I disappear, returning to my mate's side. With a swift jerk, I snap the narrow neck of the bottle clean off. Already I catch faint, telltale whiffs of the wine. I promised my mate that I'd protect her from this side of myself, the selfish, immoral side. I lied. The thing is, I'm both a fairy and the son of a tyrant king. I've descended undoubtedly from demons. Wickedness is in my blood. For once I will give in to the depraved thoughts that revolve around my mate. Callie's face is ashen, her skin already cold. Her pulse is a weak, fluttery thing. I'll take my mate's mortality from her just as I have always imagined. Bringing the bottle to her lips, I tip the lilac wine into her unresponsive mouth. Using a little of my magic, I force her throat to swallow it. I pour it all down, every last drop, my hand never once wavering. And then I wait. I comb her hair back, then stroke her iridescent wings. Never should have brought her here. Never should have rekindled what we had. Never should have entered her life in the first place. It's a peculiar kind of agony, knowing that the love of your life would be alive if not for you. Loving her enough to want that life for her, even if it means erasing all that you had together, because then, at least, she'd still be alive. Movement draws my attention to her wrist. Where a moment ago my black beads had reappeared, row after row of them now vanish once more. Only death or repayment can fulfill a bargain. Death or repayment. Death. Fear. True, heart-crushing, sweat-inducing fear flows through me. She really is leaving me. A chasm inside me opens and it's being filled with all my pain, all my dread, all the suffering I've borne throughout these long centuries. I let out a choked cry and run my hand down the side of Callie's face, her skin damp from where the lilac wine spilled. My skin begins to tingle, itching right over my chest. My magic gathers there, the pressure from it building to such intensity that it's almost painful. Out of nowhere, it blasts out of me. I groan, my back bowing at the sensation. And then I feel my power fuse with another's. I lean over Callie's body, drawing in several ragged breaths. I search her features. I've been around archaic magic long enough to know when it's at work, as it is now. Seconds later, Callie's chest rises, then falls. It worked. God's hands, it worked. Callie's alive. Her body arches, her lungs heaving in breath after breath. Before my very eyes, her wound stitches itself up. I look to the heavens above me and laugh once, a wild, manic sound. The night, in all its infinite chaos, moves around me and through me. She's alive, and she's mine. Really, truly, entirely mine. I rub my chest, right where my heart cradles our completed connection. My broken wings fan wide with my triumph, and I don't even register the pain through my elation. She's not mortal, not any longer, but everlasting. Her magic and mine sing together through our bond. Nothing, nothing has ever felt this good. I made her one of us. True, she'll never be a fairy in the most honest sense of the term. Her rounded ears are still proof of that. But she's immortal, like us, strong like us, and her magic is now compatible with mine. I glance at Callie's now bare wrist, her beads all used up.
Only death or repayment can fulfill a bargain. Death or repayment. My demand that Kali live, the lilac wine I hand-poured into her mouth, it fulfilled her end of the bargain.
You gave her the wine,
Mara murmurs from where she crouches. I nod, not bothering to glance away from my mate.
Any regrets?
She asks. I would do it again 1,000 times over. Wrongs can be forgiven. It's death that one cannot return from. Mara's final words linger in the air between us.
Let's hope she feels the same way. Chapter 55. My eyes peel open and I blink at my surroundings. I lay in the same suite Des and I have been staying in throughout solstice. I'm alive. Strange. I thought I had died. But I don't feel dead. I don't even feel like death warmed over, which is usually the case after I get my ass handed to me over and over again. My hand moves to my stomach. The thief of souls, the dagger to the gut. Had I just dreamed it all up? Hastily, I push away the clothes covering me. There, low on my abdomen, is a thin white scar. Not a dream after all. I sit up in the bed. How could I possibly recover from such a wound? I don't feel terribly different, all things considered. That is, except my hand goes to my heart. I gasp when I feel a tug that has nothing to do with the beat of it. Soulmate bonds are always described as though they are cords tethering two people together. Now I understand. I can feel the bond beneath my ribcage, reaching out across the world and connecting me with Des. It's only then that I realize the third oddity of the day. I've been sleeping on my back. I reach around to touch my wings, but they're gone. What in the world? Where did they go? I glance at my forearms and nails. Both are wholly and completely human. Frantic, I will my scales to appear. To my surprise, I feel a tug on my connection. A moment later, the skin of my forearm flushes a golden hue as hundreds of shimmering scales take shape. That shouldn't have happened. I will them away, and with another tug on the bond I share with Des, they vanish, my skin returning to normal. This is Des's magic. I can feel it thrumming through me. Somehow he saved me, and in the process our magic unified, our bond unified. At least that's the best theory I have at the moment. To test it out, I lift my arm and try to use my borrowed magic to levitate the vase of flowers next to the bed. Other than vibrating a little, it does nothing. Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
Not even out of bed, and my wily little cherub is already exploiting her side of the bond.
The man himself appears at the threshold of our room, leaning against the door. He's wearing a deaf leopard shirt, leather pants, and his shit-kicking boots, his white blonde hair tied back in a girly little ponytail. My favorite outfit. At the sight of him, my body blooms with excitement. Des, we're bonded. His entire face breaks into a smile.
We are.
I touch my abdomen. And you healed me. Everything about me thrums with life. I feel new and powerful in the most exquisite way. How did you do it? Temper? Had she healed me and fixed our bond in the process? I didn't suspect she could do such a thing.
I have my ways.
Des pushes off the wall, coming over to my side. I touch the side of his face and he leans his cheek into my hand, closing his eyes to savor it. What happened?
While I fought my father, you battled the green man.
The thief of souls, I murmur. Even now, the thought of him sends a shiver through me. He's still out there. And Des's father. But I thought your father
was dead,
he finishes for me. His expression darkens.
So did I.
Des's eyes grow distant. Where is he? I ask.
Licking his considerable wounds, I imagine.
the bargainer says. Whatever happened between father and son, it's plain enough to see that Dez won this round. It's also plain to see that his victory gives him no joy. He works his jaw.
Wherever he is, one thing's clear. He's in league with the Thief of Souls.
Just hearing the thief's name turns my attention back to my immediate situation. The knife wound to the gut, all that flesh the thief ripped into when he dragged his blade up my stomach, the chill that set in as my blood exited my body. I remember Dez demanding I live. I can still feel the phantom fingers of his magic trying to bar me from death. But it didn't work. I remember that. I felt it when his magic released me. And yet here I am, alive. My gaze cuts to my bracelet. All that stares back at me is my bare forearm. For 8 years I wore it, and now it's gone. I run my hand over my wrist. Where is it?
You fulfilled the rest of your repayment last night.
By living, he means. But it didn't work.
I found another alternative.
He says this almost defiantly. I rub my arm, trepidation crawling up my back. What alternative? His silver gaze searches my own.
Have you heard that lilac wine, the rarest of fairy elixirs, can not only bestow longevity to mortals, it can heal the wounded?
The Thief of Souls' words echo in my mind.
There was only one way,
Dez says. I'm already shaking my head, a wave of dread washing over me. No, I whisper.
It's a cure-all of sorts, and if you drink it, your soul could be mine for the taking. I gave you lilac wine.
The normally remorseless bargainer is beseeching me with his eyes to understand.
I couldn't let you die.
Do the dead ever really die? It was a trap. One the Thief of Souls set, and Dez, the master of trickery, walked right into. I drank the wine and escaped death for a price.
This is our little game, and trust me, Enchantress, it's far from over.
All that dark magic the thief wields can now be used against me. I'm more vulnerable as an immortal than I ever was as a regular human, and the Thief of Souls knows it.
I'm still coming for you. Your life is mine.
Epilogue. Deep in the Queen's sacred oak forest, the royal trees bleed, rotting from the inside out. The sound of chopping and the unearthly howls of the oaks fills the air. Tree after tree is cut down, and the bodies of sleeping men are pried from them. The Flora Queen keeps herself locked away in one of her towers, weeping over her fallen mate, her missing harem, her dying oaks. One by one, each great fey kingdom leaves the Flora Palace grounds, heading home from solstice and carting their sleeping comrades with them. All are somber, all are solemn. Dark days lie ahead. Across the other world, strange, deadly children lie in wait, their glassy eyes staring at some distant point. An ocean of glass coffins rest in four separate lands. The women inside them lay unmoving, their bodies sheathed in their uniforms, their weapons laid across their chests. Months and years may have passed, but their skin is just as supple as the day they closed their eyes. They sleep away the sands of time, waiting, waiting. It's coming. Something is coming. Fingers flutter. Muscles twitch. Not dead, but also not alive. Not yet. The sacred oaks groan, their branches swaying as a network of vines retreat from their inner membranes. A crack forms along one of the glass coffins, spiderwebbing across the transparent surface. Wood splinters down the center of an oak. A devilish child smiles. And then, as one,
1,000 upon 1,000 eyes snap open. The time has come.
This has been A Strange Hymn, The Bargainer, Book 2, written by Laura Thalassa, narrated by Susanna Jones. Copyright 2017 to present by Laura Thalassa. Production copyright 2017 by Laura Thalassa.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.